Hi, this is Kalina.
And this is Gabe.
Welcome to
Bigger Than Love. Hey, party people.
Who are the party people?
Whoever's listening.
What if there are people who aren't party people like me?
I mean, it's just in your mind. If you're listening to the Bigger Than Love podcast, you are officially a party person.
Oh, just by default.
By default, yeah. Okay. The two greatest words in the English language, default, default.
You ever have a sound just stop you? Not even a whole song, just a thing? The hum of a fridge at midnight or rain falling on a tin roof? Or that deep inhale someone takes before they say something big. These are the sounds that sneak under your skin and they shift something, even if you can't explain it. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the songs or the sounds that shaped who we are and why they still live in our hearts and minds and our bodies today. A baby laughing, the first time you hear a note of a cello, the wind blowing through the trees. I put the cello thing in there. I thought that that would move you, Gabe. No?
I am moved.
You are moved. So we'll start with Gabe, since he's our music guy. What is the first song you remember having like a big impact on you?
So there's so many ways to answer that. And there are so many songs that come to mind. But the first thing that pops into my head is 1998, sitting in the parking lot of a Greek restaurant in Chicago with my dad, listening to Jackie McLean, the legendary alto saxophonist. He had an album from the 90s called Rhythm of the Earth. And I was just getting into jazz and he put it on. I don't know why he had that record. I think he had just bought it at a record store and we were waiting for my grandparents. I think the name of the song is The Explorers. And it has a very young Roy Hargrove, legendary trumpet player, just amazing, amazing jazz musician. So much inner fire. And I just remember sitting in the parking lot of the Greek restaurant, listening to that Jackie McLean recording and listening to this incendiary trumpet solo. And that's definitely a recording that really influenced me. Mm. How about you, Kalina?
I always get kind of weird when I have to answer music questions because I'm going to feel like my answer is going to be lame compared to yours. But mine is the song When You Say Nothing at All, but specifically the one by Alison Krauss, not Keith Whitley. And I don't think I knew I was necessarily like, quote unquote, changing in the moment, but something in me just kind of stopped. My mom was driving and I remember looking out the window like I was in a movie. And you know that feeling like suddenly everything feels kind of slow and important and like dramatic. It should be noted that I was like 13. So like everything was like a movie and dramatic. Maybe nothing's changed really. Her voice felt like someone was whispering something really important to me and like something soft and warm. Like she wasn't trying to be anything. She was just like singing. And the line, you say it best when you say nothing at all, it really hit something I didn't have words for at the time. At that age, I was trying really hard to be understood by my family mostly, but I think as a teen in a small town, to say the right things and to not be too much to earn my place in the room. That song just cut through all of that for the moment. It made me feel like maybe I didn't need to explain so much. Like maybe the people who really see me don't need me to talk as much. And I didn't know how to describe that kind of safety back then, but I definitely felt it in her music. And not just that song, but I think after that point, like I became like one of her biggest fans because of that. And it just stuck with me, even now.
We went to see her play.
We did. I guess you could say that song kind of gave me permission to be quiet. And now it's one of our songs. You know, those kinds of songs that, I don't know, kind of speak for you. I also have another song, and it's probably going to make you want to share another one too. I'm going to break the rules. That was like a song that changed me then, but like a more recent example of a song that made a pretty big impact on me, and I'd be curious if you have a song now too, is All Is Well by Sam Almaydon. And you introduced me to his music and I have been a fan ever since. One of the things I love about his voice is it's not super polished, it's like really raw and get just kind of rolled out of a human being without thinking too much. Like he's just like, I'm here and I'm singing. There's a kind of sacred plainness to his voice and all of his songs, not just that one.
And his delivery.
Yeah, and his delivery. And the words All Is Well kind of repeated like a lullaby.
I performed with him the first day you came to LA to visit me.
Yeah. And I felt it then too when I saw y'all perform, but there's something about that song and a few of his other songs that they don't really lift you up. They just kind of sit with you and breathe and like, I think that's an overlapping thing with a lot of music that I'm attracted to, is that feeling of being suspended in time. Like, it's just like sitting with you in time instead of making you feel good or bad. Just, you're just kind of like, oh, this song is just, I'm in a vibe right now. And I tend to gravitate towards music like that. I wouldn't necessarily say the music I like to listen in my free time is like, quote unquote, cheerful.
I mean, I can definitely relate to that. The song is called Coattails by the band Low from their, I think it's like 1998 album, The Curtain Hits the Cast. And it's 7 minutes long, which is particularly important because it's what I listen to when I take a shower. So I know not to stay in the shower too long. It's a way that I am able to mark time and to make sure that I'm not wasting water. The thing that's so powerful about the song, it's two motifs over and over. And Mimi Parker sings just one line four times. He rides coattails, and that's it. And then the rest of the song is instrumental. Similar to what you were saying, it's an incredible vibe.
What about a sound? Do you have a sound that does the same thing?
So my parents' old home was really old, and if somebody turned on the faucet, you could hear the pipes in the walls. And I really loved that sound, and at one point I recorded it.
You still like to kind of lay and listen to the shower run.
But that's why I use Coattails, the song, to make sure I'm not in there too long, trying to conserve water.
You know what's been weirdly soothing for me is a fan, a regular old box fan or a ceiling fan, but it has to be like an old ratchet one. There's something about that soft hum in the background that instantly calms my body. Well, it's not like music and it's not like silence. It's kind of in between sound, support sound. Like,
yeah, I think you might call that like interstitial sound reinforcement.
Yeah, it's like white noise, but with heart.
There's white noise, there's brown noise, there's pink noise. So for you, maybe it's like purple noise.
I think part of it is it kind of makes the room feel contained, like I'm in a contained space.
Womb-like.
Yeah, it makes my guard comes down.
Self-swaddle.
Yeah, I think it also reminds me a lot of my youth. We've always had boxed fans. My mom likes a good fan when she sleeps. My grandmother was also a fan, a fan of fans. So they were just always around, and I just got used to sleeping with a fan on. So as soon as one comes on, like, I feel like I'm at grandma's house and it's like time to chill. And I also think it might be like the steady rhythm. My body just kind of feels like it can breathe. And growing up when I was younger, we didn't necessarily have air conditioner. In the summer months, I remember being so hot, and I'm sure you have memories of this too, like just playing outside all day, and there's something very soothing of just being like sticky and just laying in front of a fan. In fact, my mom had this amazing, very giant, I guess you would call it like a swamp cooler fan at one point, bigger than a regular box fan, kind of like the size fans that they have at like the flea market or like like a antique mall. And I would wait till everybody went to sleep, and I would sneak in her room and lay in front of the fan, like at the foot of my parents' bed, just because I liked that fan more than the fan that was in my room.
You're a fan aficionado.
I still, as you know, I love fan. Even when we travel, I have to have the sound of a fan to go to sleep. What do you think sound does that language can't?
To me, sound is interesting because it can bypass whatever conventions of understanding we may have. There's something about instrumental sound can sort of bypass judgment centers you have and go straight to a deeper place. As a professional, the further I go down this road of life and music, I don't really see a difference between your box fan and, say, listening to the band Low.
When we hear words, we're usually trying to analyze them and decide what they mean to us. Does that match what I think?
Yeah, even just the mode of communication is different.
Yeah, where sound kind of slips beneath those filters that we all have on. Sound moves straight into the body, into memory, into feeling. I think that's why a single note can pull you back 20 years, or a certain rhythm can settle your breath before you even realized you were tense. I know for me, I've heard a song come on that like makes me happy, and I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize I needed permission. Sound is kind of sneaky like that. How it moves straight into the body bypasses the brain in a lot of ways. You don't really have to understand it to be changed by it. Whereas words, I think, in language, like, you have to understand what someone's saying.
You don't have to understand something to be changed by it. I think that's cool.
Maybe that's why I like movement so much, you know, because I definitely can understand more through my body, like physically moving through things versus me thinking about it, because I can think about something into the ground. He's making a face. You're like, tell me about it. think about how the body responds. I know for me, like when you play the cello, I don't think about it, but I'll get goosebumps. Or when you play your upright bass, I can feel it like in the lower part of my tummy. Mm. Or when I hear like students sigh, like the end of class, then I'm like, oh wow, like I can feel their nervous systems accepting rest, which I always think is really cool. With you doing music, frequencies, a feeling of I know this even if I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And I also think that language has limits. Some experiences that we have as humans are just pre-verbal. Words can explain, but sound definitely embodies, I guess, if you will. And I think that's why so many people love music, because when we can't name the feeling, sound can carry it.
For sure, without a doubt.
What do you think are some of the songs that most of us might know that have that? I can think of like several songs. No matter who's in the room, if you play them, there's going to be joy immediately, or there's going to be dancing.
Don't Stop Till You Get Enough by Michael Jackson.
Okay.
That's definitely one.
I feel like if you play Jewel, You Were Meant For Me, immediately you think of every boy who ever like broke your heart. And the same is true, like anytime Journey plays, I automatically think about being at the bowling alley and trying to get a strike and just having like a good time. There's like, you're like, don't stop.
Oh,
you're like,
oh, yeah,
yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh. That's Journey, right?
Yeah, Don't Stop Believing.
Okay.
Yeah, classic.
Or REO Speedwagon. Maybe I should fact check.
No, no, Don't Stop Believing. That's Journey. Well, that's what a small town guy.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but I'm just fact checking myself. I kind of think of sound as universal. Some sounds carry meaning no matter where you are in the world. No subtitles, no translation, just instant knowing. And it makes me think of like when I've seen you travel for work and like play in various bands and things. And we've been a few times in places where English is not the primary language, but the band that you're playing with is speaking English and everyone knows exactly what's being said. I mean, it feels like they get the vibe of the song, whether it's a love song or a dance party song or like whatever. Whatever the vibe is, it's universal. Like, and they're singing along and they have no idea. They don't speak English, but yet they're singing in English.
I'm not an expert as to how those things work, but there's something about the sound that would indicate garbage truck backing up. Touches the same place beyond language. When there's a beat, people instinctually move to it. When you hear a tornado warning or something, there's really no mistaking that's an alarm.
Oh, totally.
Just like when there's the beat or something, my understanding of Brazilian Portuguese is pretty small. I mean, I'm always trying to like speak it and learn more about it, but like some of my favorite jams to listen to, like I don't even necessarily understand all the lyrics. Like Gilberto Gil, Palco. I think Palco means stage, and he's just a song about getting on the stage with his homies and like they're all smelling fresh as a baby's bottom with talcum powder, and it's so good. And then the groove is so insane. It's kind of giving me like Brazilian Earth, Wind, and Fire energy, which is also another incredible example of you don't have to think about it. Like Earth, Wind, and Fire is just so good. It goes directly to the into the funky zone.
Yeah, I think you're right using that analogy of the truck backing up, but even more emotional than that, like a baby crying, a laugh.
One thing I will say that I remember has been said to me is you measure frequency and they use Ks, like 1K, 2K. I think it's maybe related to hertz. Again, like I'm not entirely certain, but I know that 1K is the sound of something rustling in the distance. And so it's like the sound of like a clack, 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 clack on a keyboard or something, or like your dog is in another room and it's walking across the floor. That sound of just like, or like there's a sound that's similar to that in volume or in timbre that maybe makes your hair raise up. And it's the sound in our reptilian brain. 1K is like the sound of a predator approaching. Not the movie, not the dope ass movie, but but actual predator, not Schwarzenegger or Carl Weathers.
So now our listeners know that you really like the movie Predator.
Oh, I love Predator. Predator is one of my all-time favorite movies. Most people don't know that originally the role of Predator was offered to Jean-Claude Van Damme, and he was going to do it, but then he found out that he had to wear a mask the whole time, and he wouldn't. I think that's why he turned it down. But then they got somebody else who was like way taller than Schwarzenegger, and it makes it more effective. But yes, Predator, not the movie, but actual Predator, the sound of little click-clacking or something in the bushes or whatever, how you might like be like, oh, what was that, is our ancestral brain responding to potential threat.
That's interesting. I think with all of this, you're just saying that sound speaks fluently. It speaks all languages across age, culture, intellect. With all those examples, it skips the mind and lands in the body. So I wanted to ask about your feelings, not only sound being universal, but sound as presence. some sounds don't really ask anything of you. They don't try to explain or convince or teach. They just stay with you. The thing that came up for me is my grandmother humming when she was alive. Uh-huh. She used to have this way that she would hum, and she wasn't humming a song. And if you ask her, I don't think it was until you and I got together that I even ever heard anyone ask her what she was humming.
Was I the one asking her?
You did ask her what she was humming.
Often it sounded like some sort of remix on Camptown Races.
I don't know, but she did that my whole life. Like, I can't really remember a time where she didn't hum. Even while watching TV, she would hum. She's not here for us to ask her any longer, but I will say that the interesting thing about the sound of her humming is that it didn't ask anything of you, but it definitely made you feel a presence. The thing that I remember most about her humming is that it was just there.
Huh.
It just was always there, just hanging in the air. Like, even when you were trying to chill, like, I remember it in the mornings. You know when you know you have to wake up, go to school? The way my morning would go is first I would hear the humming, and then I would hear the spoon clanking against the cup because she didn't drink coffee, but she drank Swiss Miss, so hot chocolate. And then right when you would hear it stop for like a few seconds, immediately you would feel a cold washcloth just smash onto your face. She had this way that she would wake us up where she would just take a cold washcloth and just start wiping your face, like cleaning your face. And you wake up immediately, but you're awake and now clean. And that's just like what every morning, like growing up in the house with her, was like. Two sounds, the hum, the spoon, and then a big washcloth right on the face. It's like a full sensory experience. But yeah, sound as presence. Do you have anything like that for you?
For me, sound as presence currently would be working here a lot of times at the house. And I can hear, especially with my headphones on, if I hear our doggies out there starting to rustle around, it means that you're close, that you're almost home.
One of the favorite kind of sounds as presence with the dogs is hearing them crunch on their food.
Oh, man. Hearing them crunch is so good. Hearing them snore is amazing. Stouffer's our oldest. She sleeps with her snout basically in my ear. And it's unbelievably relaxing.
So soothing.
It's so soothing. It's like having a small pot-bellied pig in my ear.
I think that that's true for all music and sounds, though. One of the things that makes sound so cool is that it's not really a solution, but it definitely helps you sit in life. Again, I'm not a musician. I don't sing. I don't write music. I don't play music like you, but I think it's so cool that music and sound can get away with being a companion without really offering any real solutions. Like the one kind of relationship we have where you don't expect it to fix you. You know, like I think a lot of other things that we do in our free time, like we expect some sort of solution of it.
I mean, that's the essence of art.
I don't know why I always think of my teenage years mostly, like with music. I think probably because I think it was you that told me that you read an article that was talking about like whatever you were listening to when you were like between the ages of 14 and 17 or something. Like you kind of never stop listening to. It like becomes like your anthem for life.
Yeah, that was my friend Cole, amazing producer. He was the one who was telling me that like the music you listen to from 14 to 19 is really like what is formative. Like for me, last weekend, there was some sort of skateboarding competition next to the parking lot I parked in, and they were playing Hieroglyphics 93 till Infinity, which is just like seminal Bay Area rap group. And it was You Never Knew, and it's just the intro to that is like the sample. I don't know what the sample is. It goes, "You never knew." It's like that, and it's Hieroglyphics, yeah. And I heard that and I got out the car. It was almost just like the bat signal. Like I flew out the car and I was like so pumped up just hearing even just the intro to that. So yeah, that was a big jam for me in high school.
I think it's cool how music can kind of tap into memory like that, or just certain sounds and songs are like time machines that transport you back into like a specific place, like with people or sensations. And I think in some ways that's why music is so healing. I know when songs do that for me, I can think of the saddest time in my life, but yet I'm just so happy that I'm listening to the song. I'm thinking about like, you know, how my heart was broken or something like that. Or one of my favorite songs that reminds me of one of our dogs is no longer here. I'm like sad but happy at the same time.
Totally. I think you're referring to John Martin.
Yeah, John Martin.
So good. I mean, talk about A1 sad boy. I mean, John Martin was, legend. So good. So good.
I think that music just kind of gives shapes to things that are invisible. it holds a lot of feelings that are kind of complex, overwhelming kind of feelings, and kind of puts them in a nice little box. You're just like, oh, when I'm sad, I like to listen to this song. Or when I'm happy, I like to listen to this song. And nobody really questions it. It's been a long time since anyone personally asked me what I like to listen to, because I think there's a general assumption that whatever I play in classes must be what I like, right?
I mean, my experience of you is the same, like 30 country songs from the 90s, like on repeat, that I could get up with those artists or a cover band and play all of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally terrified to play country music in class, though, because I feel like there are a few genres of music that can be quite divisive, at least in this yoga space, and country is one of them.
I would say, objectively speaking.
Or Pilates, you don't want to be country Pilates.
Well, see, I think country Pilates would be cool. One of the reasons, from a technical standpoint, country music, to me, is very much built upon storytelling in the literal sense. Yes, like classical music tells a story too, sure. But country music is so about storytelling through the lyrics. And generally speaking, yoga, also you as a practitioner are guiding the students. And I think the music should be following, almost like a, you know, if I'm doing like soundtrack work. Sometimes lyrics on top of you trying to talk can be a detriment.
I know going into teaching a class or setting a vibe that whatever music I play is going to connect the people that are there, right? Because that's what music does. It's shared experience, singing together or hearing together, listening together, and it creates a sense of belonging and resonance that's hard to replicate. When you're in class, it's never the same, right? It's a vibe. And so you want to pick stuff that kind of like sits behind that vibe or lifts that vibe up or transports the collective. And you're right. It, you know, with country music being so
narrative driven,
like you don't want people feeling some certain kind of way. Like country music will make you think about your life for sure. Like, oh wow, maybe I do need a tractor, you know?
John Deere Green. Just listen to John Deere Green.
Maybe I do need to.
She's the queen of my double wide trailer.
That's a good song too. I think you know what I mean. That like it's just a little safer to, like you said, like have a like a soundtrack or like a soundscape. A sound scapula, if you will.
Sonic scapula.
Yeah. But at its core, I think music transforms because it's not just entertainment. It's a bridge between that kind of inner and outer world, between what happened to you and what's moving through you right now. Like, it's hard to tell. And because of that, you just never know what kind of song might make somebody feel a certain type of way, right? That's what I'm most excited about. I hope those of you who are listening choose to share with us, either through email or social media, what your favorite songs are or your sounds are, because I'm so curious, because I think it's so vast, like what people might choose. Even though as a collective, we might all like when we're talking about songs that just hype up a collective, you know, like, or songs that we just all know. And if they come on in like a social setting, we're like, oh, I love this song. Like, it wouldn't necessarily be the song that you would pick as like your favorite song. An example I think of, like, in Pilates, like, anytime Missy Elliott Work It comes on, like, the vibe, just everybody, like, starts to sing along. Or, in fact, we even have a running joke in the Pilates circle at the studio that someone really wanted to have, like, karaoke Pilates. And, like, the group was like, no, we can't. We can't do karaoke Pilates. But it's cool to see how music can really change and or set a vibe. So I think the core idea with this episode is that sound and music tell us it's okay if we don't have the words for like what we're feeling, and that it's okay to feel things and to move through them. And I think Gabe and I want to just toss this out here. What song or sound changed you? Like, if you're listening and you feel comfortable with sharing. And because of this episode, we thought it would be really cool to have a soundscape of Gabe's attached to it. And we'll be curious if you would stay on and listen to the end of the episode and write in and tell us how that soundscape maybe made you feel, or, you know, what came up for you as kind of a creative way to close out this episode. So until next time, three P's. Thank you.
to slow.